your love for us in our relationship with our children. And I pray, Father, that you, Lord, would instruct us and teach us and guide us and lead us and discipline us and mold us and shape us. Lord, we need you. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight, that you would open our eyes, that we might, Lord, attain and acquire wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so last and final night, we have seen the goal. The goal of our parenting is a teachable spirit, humble learners, confident followers. As we hand our children off from our home into the Father's direction and guidance, we've seen the Father. The Scripture gives us a lot of instruction about the Father, that it is the Father's fear of the Lord which will provide the wisdom that our children need, and it is the Father's character that ensures that they will receive it. Last week, we looked at the methods, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And we talked about a lot of different verses. I talked about getting the good in as far as instruction and wisdom and guidance, and getting the bad out, removing that foolishness, that desire for our own way for our children. And then tonight, we want to look at some verses that deal with motivation. The motivation, God's word in Proverbs gives us a lot of verses that give us a view down the road. What we get is we get information that we would not know otherwise of what it will look like down the road. And what is wisdom, by the way? What is wisdom? Okay, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. That's a good way of putting it. You could also say wisdom is the ability, given any set of circumstances, wisdom is the ability to cut through the smoke of the circumstances and being able to see exactly what is most important in that circumstance. What is most important here? And understanding down the road, understanding the consequences and the results of our actions down the road is an important part of understanding, hey, what's important here? What really is important? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Somebody read for us verses 21 through 24. All right, who is this motivation, if you want to call it that? Who is this motivation for, these verses right here? It's for the son, yeah. And what do these verses give to the son? Okay, security. It's kind of that maybe is a bad way to ask that question. They get peace. Yeah, and in these verses, the future results of what you're looking at. He's saying, my son, keep wisdom. Hold on to wisdom, and then this will happen. And is it good or is it bad? It's really good, isn't it? And so what you're looking at is you're looking at God's word describing for children the benefits that wisdom have for their lives down the road, right? So what are some of these benefits that wisdom has? We mentioned a couple. Okay, freedom from fear, absolutely.
There's going to be life
to be life to your soul. That's interesting. Who gives life? The Lord gives life. In fact, woman at the well, Nicodemus, who gives real life? Jesus does. Life only comes from Jesus. And within God's instruction here, who is it that introduces our children to Jesus? Yeah, we do. That our instruction is life for our children. What else? Look at verse 23. Say that again. Rest, absolutely. Rest, that your rest, your sleep will be sweet. Freedom, this freedom from fear. Verse 23, a security, a clear path, that they won't make missteps, that they won't, you know, there is a way where you learn things the hard way, but wouldn't it be a whole lot better to learn things on the front end and avoid the school of hard knocks? That's what verse 23 is offering. So what we're seeing is we're seeing God's word tell us this. Hey, son, this is motivation. Now, earlier in chapter 3, if you look back up in verses 11 and 12, we talked about this last week as well. What reason does the son have for receiving his father's discipline? Because he knows the father loves him. It's the father's love, right? Here in verses 21 through 24, we get the child has not just the father's love, but the child is given all of these benefits down the road for holding on to a father's instruction. Turn over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 24. Somebody read verses 20 through 24. Who would read 20 through 24? Okay. Okay. Same idea, right? He says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father. Forsake not the teaching of your mother. Bind them on your heart. Hang them on your neck. Keep them right there in front of you." Why? What's being offered to the child? Okay. Yeah. Okay, back up for just a second. Before we get into the specifics, let me point something out to you. This is not just a list of blessings. This is a list of ways that a parent's instruction are active in a child's life. Look at these verbs. They will guide, they will watch, they will talk, they will walk. That a parent's instruction are actually active in our children's lives. When we send our children away to college or to a job, and you know what, we use this phrase, we say, we're sending them off on their own, right? And boy, that's scary, isn't it? And somebody told me one time, Grace, this was about 3 years ago, so Grace would have been about five, and when she had straight hair. Do y'all remember that? And I remember she was walking down the middle of the aisle, and an older gentleman in our church, and he wisely said, he said, "Man," he said, "you need to really value these days." He said, "Because there is coming a day when you're going to drop a set of keys into that little girl's hands and watch her pull out of the driveway and down the road out of sight." And that, like, man, that struck fear in my heart right then. She's going to be by herself. But here's what's happening here. That
that if a child will receive instruction, that if a child will value a parent's discipline and guidance, that instruction remains active in their life. And so when they're on their own, they won't be on their own. That what we give them is still at work and still teaching and still guiding and even protecting. This is incredible, isn't it?
All right, think about this. Let's think about this for just a minute. These verses here in chapter 6. Who are they written to? They're written to the child, right? Yeah, they're written to the son. They're written to the child. And they are motivation for a child. Listen, man, look at all of these benefits from your parents' instruction. But we're not, I mean, we are all children. But we're now reading these passages as parents. What these passages, what do they do for us? Okay, reassurance. To do what? Yes. Yeah. What if, as I'm reading this, and I'm reading that it's my instruction that's going to guide, and it's my instruction that'll watch over, and it's my instruction that's going to talk to my children when I'm not even there, and it's my instruction that will be a light, and it's my instruction that will keep my son from the evil woman. What if he doesn't have that instruction? Think of all of the valuable assets that our children won't have if we are not diligent to teach and to discipline. Oh man, that strikes even more fear in my heart. And so as a dad, I read this, and I think we're meant to. I read this as a dad, and I realize, holy smoke, that's some responsibility right there. We talked about this the first week, remember? That our desire for our children to receive our instruction cannot be separated from our responsibility to give instruction. The one has to go with the other. It's got to go like that. When we normally think about these things that go on in the life of our child, when we normally think about guidance, watch over, talk to, protect, a lamp, a light. Who do we normally think about? Okay, Jesus or the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is our guide, he's our teacher. Isn't it interesting that Proverbs, right here in these verses, Proverbs uses those same descriptions for parents? Here's what's happening here. I made the comment last week, and I probably should have clarified this a little bit more, but here's what's happening. We are powerless to change their hearts, right? Because only Jesus can give them new life. But here's what's happening, that we as parents, we are ordained by God as tools that he will use in our children's life. We are the tools that he will use. All of these functions that our instruction serve, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? When they're here and they're in our home, guess who the Holy Spirit uses to do those things? Us. That's some responsibility right there. Is this motivating? Man, we look down the road and we see the things that our children are going to need. And we realize, man, I have a responsibility to give them those things. Is there grace? If you grow up in a terrible home and you have awful parents, listen, is there grace and does God still teach? Absolutely he does. But do you know what? Man, if God has given us children, he has given us the responsibility and he wants to use us as tools in our children's lives. You guys see that? All right, turn over to chapter 7.
Let me read a couple of verses here. This is verse 24, chapter 7, verse 24.
Now therefore, my sons, listen to me. By the way, that's more personal. That's more personal than the other statements like that that we've seen. The other statements say, keep my commandments, don't forsake my instruction. This one says, this is a father, and he says, my son, listen to me. Why? Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Is this positive motivation or negative motivation? This is negative motivation. Rather than being a benefit, this is a warning. The verse begins just like other verses that we've read. Listen to me. Pay attention. It's more personal. But the Father's desire here, the Father's instruction, is opposed to, and it's interesting that it's a woman. The voice is feminine. What you're looking at here you're looking at a temptation towards sexual immorality specifically. Man, is that something that our children will face? What will protect them from the voice of the seductress? Do you realize that in this passage, it is the Father's instruction versus her voice? Oh man. In the son's life, it is the father's words against her seductions. It is the father's instruction that will keep him from the destruction in verse 27, descending to the chambers of death. It's the father's instruction that will keep him from destruction that will come from following her. Wow. Is there significant motivation for the children in this verse to listen to their father? But as a dad, is this motivating to me as well? Holy smoke. Holy smoke. Now, saw two verses that add benefits as motivating factors for our children. We're looking at a verse here in chapter 7 that's a warning as a motivating factor for our children. The three verses that we've looked at so far, they are strong motivators for children, because what they do, the three verses that we've just read, they point out the instruction, listen to your parents' instruction, and then they give the effect in the child's life. Do you guys see that? That all of the three verses that we've just read, the exhortation is to receive your parents' instruction, and then what is shown is the effect that they will have in the child's life. The blessings that they will bring, the activity that they offer, guide, protect, watch over, but then also negatively the danger when that doesn't happen. And so what you're looking at is receive the parents' instruction, and it shows the effect in the child's life. Everybody with me? Okay. Let me read you a quote along those lines. Let me read you a quote. This comes from a guy's name is William Hendrickson, and I have intentionally not used any quotes at all these last 3 weeks, but this one is just too good to pass up, and it's one that I actually read. And this guy, he writes this, believe it or not, in a commentary on 1 Timothy. He's not even really talking about parenting, but he kind of goes off on a rabbit trail in his commentary on 1 Timothy, and man, I grabbed it. But listen to this. He's talking about a father's instruction, and he's talking about motivation for his father's instruction, and he said, the instruction of a father must be done in such a way that the father's firmness makes it advisable for a child to obey, that his wisdom makes it natural for a child to obey, and that His love makes it a pleasure for a child to obey. Isn't that good? A father's firmness makes it advisable for a child to obey. His wisdom makes it natural for a child to obey. And His love makes it a pleasure for a child to obey. Man, that's good, isn't it? Man, motivation. All right. Now, we're getting ready to turn to chapter 10. And let me just prepare you for what we're going to see. Because at this point, Proverbs makes a shift. What we have seen is we have seen exhortation to receive a father's instruction, with the motivation being the effect in the child's life. What we're about to see, same exhortation, receive a parent's instruction, but now the effect that is shown in the verses is no longer the effect in the child's life. What we're about to see is we're about to be shown the effect in the parent's life. And so what we are going to get is we are going to get an exhortation. Children, receive the instruction of your father. And we're going to be shown, based on whether they do or not, the effect that will have, not in the children's life, but the effect that it has on the parents. Proverbs chapter 10. Somebody read for us just verse 1. This is not instruction to a son. You know what this is? This is instruction about a son. And there is a contrast. Two different types of sons. It says one is a wise son and one is a foolish son. What makes a son wise? Based on what we've studied, what makes a son wise? A teachable spirit, absolutely. This is a son that has received his father's instruction and valued his father's instruction and followed his father's instruction. This is a son who has been teachable and has received it. And what is the result in the father's life of a wise son? Gladness. That a wise son makes his father glad. But then on the opposite side, a foolish son. What is foolish? What's foolishness? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What is that? Bad, evil? Maybe, but it's even more specific than that.
Not doing what you know to be right.
Okay, not doing what you know to be right. Maybe even more specific than that. If wisdom is a teachable spirit, foolishness is what? Yeah, doing what you want to do. Doing what's right. Leaning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 describes it in this way. Leaning on your own understanding. What's a characteristic that you find in every single child you will ever meet? I want to do it this way. I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it this way. A foolish son, a son that has not been teachable, a son that's leaning on his own understanding, that kind of son, what's the effect in his parents' life of foolishness in their children? Grief, yeah, grief. And I don't think this is, you might say, well, why is the father always glad and the mother always grieves? I don't think that works like that. Teresa pointed that out last week. Why is it the mother that gets, we're going to see some verses that it gets interchanged both ways. What you're looking at here is the effect it has in the parents' lives, father and mother, both of them together. By the way, just as a side note, you know, in Ephesians 4, at the end of Ephesians chapter 4, where it's listing things that the Lord, responsibilities that we have before the Lord, do you know what it says? It says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know what happens with our relationship with the Lord when we go our own way? Grieves him. And that's what we see happening here in the relationship with our earthly parents as well. That a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 15. Flip over to chapter 15. This takes it a little bit farther. And I want you to see, I'm not picking and choosing these verses, by the way, but what we're doing is, as we're walking through, the Holy Spirit is taking us a step deeper. Because it's not just that a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Watch this. Verse 15, somebody read verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad. Same verse, same phrase, same principle. But now, it's not just that a foolish man brings grief to his mother, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, how are we to think about that? Why would Scripture say that a foolish man despises his mother? Does anybody really say that they hate their mama? Boy, if you say you hate your mama, boy, you got problems. I mean, maybe you got a wicked mama. I don't know. Here's what's happening. There is insight in this verse that the foolish son may not even realize himself. That you get a foolish son who does his own way. A wise son would make his mother glad, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. If you are doing something that makes sense for you to do, but it is bringing grief to your mother, can you really say that you love her? Not if you continue to do it. Exactly. Do you know what's happening here? What's happening here is that foolishness and unwillingness to learn and follow my parents' instruction, foolishness is inconsistent with love for your parents. You can't do it. You cannot say that you love your parents and go the other way. As long as what your parents are teaching you is from God's Word. We're talking about godly parents here. Because I just lost my train of thought. If you say that you love your mother and you bring her grief, then there are obviously things that you love more. If what you love more is Jesus and you're following Jesus as opposed to your mother, then that's one thing. But if your mother is reflecting Christ and teaching Christ to you and you go the other way, then there are things that you love more than your mama. Now, if we are a parent reading this, which we are, what should our response be to reading these things? That a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man brings grief to his mother and even despises his mother. What's our response as a parent? Because we're reading this not as children. We're reading this as parents. What's our response here? Man, yes, the priority. The priority of raising wise children. Back in our goal, our study of goals. Now, you can't separate our desire for our children to receive our instruction without realizing the responsibility that we have to give wise instruction, right? So the tool that the Lord wants to use to drive foolishness out of our children's heart, man, we read this and we need to say in our own hearts, man, I've got to be diligent about raising my children. I've got to be diligent about instructing, getting the good in. I've got to be diligent about about getting the bad out, because it's my responsibility as a parent to drive foolishness out of my child's heart, right? And so we've read that, and now we get here and we say, hey, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I just want to clue you in a little bit, because along the line, if you ever lose motivation, if you ever get tired, if you ever feel like it's just not a priority, let me remind you that a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Oh, man. This is God's word to us as parents, just as much as it is to the child. I remember hearing a mother of a teenage girl, and I knew the family, and I was pretty close. I was close to the circumstances of the family. It was not necessarily that we were best friends, but I was close to the circumstances of the family. And they were a church family. It's not anybody that you know, but they were a church family. This daughter, she was about 15, and she manipulated her mother, and she deceived her mother, lied to her mama, and did all kinds of things that her mother her mother did not want her to do for a whole lot of reasons. But this girl, she was just going to do what she wanted to do, and that was it. And that mama looked at me one time, and this is a true story. She looked at me and she said, you know, she said, when they're little, it's kind of fun. She said, but it sucks to be the parent of a teenager. A foolish child brings grief to their mother. And so, you know what? We need to read this. And we need to think in our own hearts, man, you know what, man? This is a priority to raise our children. This is a priority. Because you know what? If for no other reason, that little three-year-old who just says nothing but no, and I just chase him all over everywhere because it's funny, in about 10 years, that kid's going to make my life miserable if I don't do something about it now. And it's my responsibility to do something. If nothing else, then self-interest. Because Scripture says that a foolish child brings grief. And you know what? And we can see that. You've seen the same thing. You guys know what I'm talking about. You see the same thing. You know families like this. Their parents are miserable. Let's keep going. Proverbs 17. I wish I could tell you that it got better, but it doesn't. Proverbs 17 and verse 21. Now, this is an interesting verse. Let me read this verse just because it's interesting. He who sires a fool does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Who is this verse directed to? The father. This verse is directed toward fathers. Dads, you raise a fool, and what will be the result, according to God's word? Sorrow and no joy. Sorrow and no joy. God's word is saying, hey, dads, this is important. Verse 25, chapter 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Oh, man. Like that's the worst one yet. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Guys, why does Scripture include this much attention to this principle? It's truth because it's important and because it is often missed. it is often missed that when they are little, because the circumstances are, they're kind of funny, and because the consequences are low, and because I'm tired, we overlook. And always, we got to choose our battles. And it's just Cheerios on the floor. It's just a jacket when it's cold outside. But it's your child's heart. And these verses are adding significance, to the child, to the children that we are raising. Chapter 19. Now, I think this is humorous. Some of the ladies in here, y'all might not think this is humorous. I was walking through this passage with Allison last night, and she thought this was funny. I hope you do too. Yeah, I believe it. Everybody with me? You see? Any questions, thoughts about the passages that we've read so far? What do you think, Jesse? Yes. That's right. No, that's exactly right. And remember the goal. So the goal is to train them to be teachable, to have a teachable heart, to get foolishness out so that they receive our instruction, so that they trust us and value our guidance and seek our guidance. And what is our guidance? Our guidance is to teach them to trust their Heavenly Father and to seek their Heavenly Father and to value His instruction. That's a good point. What the goal is not just a wise intellectual child, but a child who has learned to be a humble learner and a confident follower of me in the beginning, but along the line we hand them off and now they have learned to be a humble learner and a confident follower because they trust the Lord. They trust they trust their Heavenly Father. Does that clarify? Does that help? Absolutely. A child that listens to me but has no relationship with their Heavenly Father, it won't do them a lick of good. In fact, I don't know that I don't know that such a child exists. Because they need Jesus to give them that new heart, right? Without a heart, all we like sheep have gone astray. We each have turned to its own way, right? Okay. That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly right. That we teach our children to look to their Heavenly Father. That's exactly right. Chapter 19. Now, somebody read 13 and 14 for us. Who would?
I'll read it.
I think this is great. That's why I said I hope you ladies think this is funny as well. Who's this verse talking to? Who is it that has a son and a wife? The father. Yeah. There's only one man that fits that only one person that within the family that fits that description, right? So he says a foolish son is destruction to his father. What's the motivation there for the father? Yeah, so what? So what do you need to do? You need to raise a wise son, right? And then he says, the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. What's the motivation there? No. You know what the motivation is there? Choose a wise wife. Here's what's happening for the father. I love this verse because Because regardless of who you are, you read this verse and there is instruction and motivation for you. If you are the father and you read this verse, then it is very clear motivation to prioritize raising wise children because it's in your best interest. On the other side, and I'm going to show you here in just a minute that the Lord is making a point here. There's a purpose that he's showing the father-son relationship and the husband-wife relationship. There are some differences that the Holy Spirit is highlighting. So if you are a father, it is in your best interest to raise wise children. It's also in your best interest to choose a wise wife. Because no matter how beautiful she is, and no matter how much you think she's going to improve with age and maturity, the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping, and she will drive you mad. Right? So choose a wise wife. Yeah. What'd you say?
I'm only laughing because you're laughing.
The scripture says it is better to live on the corner of a rooftop than live in a house with a contentious woman. And what that means is it's better to live on the corner of your rooftop than to live in the house with a contentious woman, right? I mean, that's important. Yeah.
I just think that shows responsibility for the man.
It does. It does. If you're a son, though, and you read this verse, what's the motivation that you have? Man, my father, I need to make him glad. I need to be wise. I need to listen to him. I need to follow his instruction. Yeah, that's right. If you're a wife, is there something here for you as well? There is, absolutely. But only the father can benefit from both of those phrases. Now, look at verse 14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers. Who's that written to? Yeah, the son. And okay, so the son or the child. What motivation does that offer the son? Hey, buddy, if you're smart.
If you're
good,
you're gonna get all my stuff.
Yeah, exactly. He says a foolish son is a destruction to his father. So if you destroy your father, what are you going to miss out on?
Everything.
House and wealth are an inheritance from our father. Listen, it's in your best interest to bring gladness to your father's heart and not destroy him, right? So that's to the son. Now this is interesting though, because the last phrase, look at this, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Who's that written to? It's written to the father. What does that add to the father? What does that give to the father? Okay, a helpmate. Okay, yeah, the prudent wife actually does give a helpmate. Where does he get a helpmate, according to this verse? From the Lord. Yeah. That man, that you know what? You got a wife who's wise and who's, man, she's just a great, you know what? I heard Tony Evans preach one time. I said in Genesis chapter 1, when God calls the woman the man's helper, what that means is the brother needs some help. And man, no truer statement has ever been made. That's what that means. A brother needs some help. And so you get a wife, man, and she is just the greatest blessing to you. Where'd that come from? That's just a gift from God, isn't it? You get a son, and he brings you gladness. Where'd that come from? No. Yes, from your instruction. I want you to notice what he's doing here is he is comparing and contrasting the relationship between a father and a son and a father and his wife. Now, the result of foolishness is the same whether it is the father or the wife, right? But what is the source? What he does is he draws a contrast between the sources of a wise wife and a wise son. A wise wife, man, she is just a gift from God. Because you know what? You fathers, you husbands, you don't have the responsibility of training up your wife. You get what you take. You better choose wisely. But it's not your responsibility to change your wife's heart. Right? Nowhere in Scripture are men commanded to train up their wives. That sounds like, man, that's like Muslim stuff. We don't do that. Right? The Holy Spirit can change their wife, but we have no responsibility in changing our wife's heart. So you get a wise wife, that's just a gift from God. But a wise son. Do you know, nowhere in Scripture are we told that a wise son is a gift from the Lord. Like this verse that says a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Why? Because we have a responsibility in our children's hearts. And the Lord is pointing, these two verses right here, the Lord is highlighting that difference. Prudent wife is from the Lord, but a wise son comes from a wise father. Yes. Absolutely. I think that's valuable in a son's life as well, because when he chooses a wife, that's instruction that he needs to know.
Also, too, my thought was from to piggyback on what Jesse was saying, from the son's point of view, it shows the difference in value of those two things. An inheritance and wealth that comes from a father is not nearly as valuable as a wise wife.
Sure. Yep, I think that's true. Verse 13 shows us the result of foolishness on both the son's part and the wife's part, right? You see that? Verse 14 talks about sources. What's the source of house and wealth? They come from a father. So son, pay attention. But what's the source of a wife? A wise wife, the Lord is. He's drawing a distinction between two different sources. This is significant. What's the motivation for the father here? Man, you got a wise wife, you praise the Lord for. But you want a wise son, pay attention. Wake up. Be diligent. Be motivated to diligently train and instruct and discipline our children, right? To give them wise instruction, to drive foolishness out of their heart. This is significant, y'all. Man, this is significant. All right, let's keep going. Everybody with me? All right, chapter 20. Now, chapter 20, verse 11, is motivation of a little bit different sort. It is motivation in terms of priorities. Look at what it says. It says, it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself. What is it that makes one child different than another? What is it that distinguishes children? and right.
Thank you, sir. Mucho something.
What is the if? A lad's deeds distinguish himself if what? If their conduct is pure and right. Here's the sense of this verse. The sense of this verse says that, listen, a child could be good at a whole variety of things, but that is only valuable if his character is solid. You can get Michael Vick, who is extremely good at playing football.
Was
at some point in his life. But that's only valuable if the man can stay out of jail, right? He can be as great as he wants to be, but if his character is not good, none of the other things are valuable. This is talking about children. For our children, what is most important to be developed? Our character. Their character. We do this badly, by the way, I think, in our society. There are lots of skills and talents and abilities that we prioritize to the loss of their character. This verse is motivation for priorities. Let's keep going. Chapter 23. Everybody with me? Chapter 23. Verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. Now, notice there, he's not talking about his son's behavior. It's not the behavior that his dad is interested in. It's his son's heart. It's the heart behind the behavior. And his child's heart, that's what brings gladness to the father. And then watch this in verse 16. My inmost being will rejoice. He said, man, this gladness, it goes all the way down to the deepest part of the father's heart. The gladness that comes from a son who has a wise heart. How will you know whether your son has a wise heart or not? When your lips speak what is right. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this father says, son, I hear what's coming out. And I know where it's coming from. And your heart, man, that brings joy to the deepest part of my being. Incidentally, 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. No greater joy than to know that our children are walking in truth, that they are walking, following, trusting, obeying, loving their Heavenly Father. Oh, man. Is that motivating as a parent? Holy smoke. Drop down to verse 24, same chapter, chapter 23, verse 24.
What was that verse, John?
John, that was 3 John, verse 4. The father of the righteous, this is verse 24, chapter 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. He's showing us the result of wisdom on the part of the child, and it is joy for the parents. And he's giving the children responsibility there. Hey, let your parents be glad in what you are doing. By the way, there is motivation there for the parents as well as for the children, because we realize we're being given a window down the road at what's taking place even in my own heart. Everybody with me? I got one more passage. We'll end a few minutes early here tonight, I think. Yes, sir? Sires? To bring about, to give birth to, and to raise a son. Yep. Everybody with me? This next passage, and we're only going to look at one more, but the next verse ties it all together. and it's chapter 27, and it is going to show us the connection. By the way, before we even, you can turn to chapter 27. Before we even get there, though, this is what I want you to think about. What is the connection between wisdom in the son's life, gladness in the father's heart, and responsibility? What's the connection there? Chapter 27. Actually, I got one more verse after this one. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I got one more verse after this one. This one begins to introduce the connection here. Chapter 27, verse 11. He says, "Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may reply to him who reproaches me." Same principle, first phrase. What's the result of a wise son in his father's life? Gladness. This verse takes it even farther. What further benefit does a wise son have in his father's life? Not just glad. This verse pictures a father who is being reproached or attacked or maligned by somebody outside of the family or inside of the family. It doesn't matter. Somebody is bringing a reproach against the father's character. What evidence does this father use to prove that the reproach is unfounded? The wisdom of his son. We need to be clear. And listen, and this is meant, this is not meant in any way in Scripture. This is not meant to be condemning. This is meant to be freeing and to be motivating, and this is meant to fill us with hope. But what we're seeing is that you cannot separate the character of the son from the character of the father. That the character, in fact, in this verse, the character of the son is a witness to the character of the father. Do you guys see that? Even in the New Testament, when you go to the New Testament, and we as a church, there are certain characteristics that we are to look for when a man is being considered for the office of a deacon or an elder or a pastor. Do you know what one of those characteristics are? His children. You look at how his household is run, and you look at, in fact, we're commanded in Titus to look at whether or not his children are believers. Why? Because if the fruit of his household is bad, what's going to happen to the fruit if he gets in charge of God's household? It will be bad as well. Yeah. Yes. Because the character of the children is evidence of the character of the father. Man, that is not... Listen, here's what's happening. Here's what potentially could happen with a principle like that. We could potentially, man, it could strike fear in our heart and say, oh, no, man. But look, it's not meant to do that. It's meant to be freeing. That, you know what? A father, we looked at this in chapter 23 a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the father. But you know what? The fear of the Lord brings what? Strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. So then my relationship with the Lord, my walk with the Lord, and this is, man, this is great. Am I a perfect man? No. But my relationship with the Lord, my fear of the Lord, my willingness to be taught and not lean on my own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, do you know what? That will be reflected in my children's lives. And that is a supernatural thing that happens. Do you guys see that? Man, I praise God for that. Because all I got, guys, all we've got is right here. And it's enough. It's enough. We cling to the Lord. We cling to His Word and His promises. Amen.
There's a lot of hope there. A lot of trust. Everybody with me? Chapter 29. Last verse, but it is even more clear still. Chapter 29, verse 17. Strong motivation. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul.
Scripture here gives us very clear direction, very clear exhortation, and it is the Holy Spirit is telling us, correct your children. Instruct them, discipline them. Do not let them go in their own way. Correct your children. And then it gives us motivation for following that instruction. What is the result of a parent who diligently corrects their children? Yeah. Say that again. Peace? Yeah. They will bring comfort to us, and they will be a delight to our soul. You ever seen a mom who, man, just delights in her children? Her children are young. They might be 7 or 8, maybe even 5 or 6, maybe even as young as 3 or 4. And you know what? She can just delight in her children, and she enjoys being with them. It's not hard to be with them. She enjoys them. But then you know what? We've also seen some mamas. And she's about to pull her hair out. And she's miserable. And her children are older than these other kids. But they, man, they drive her nuts. Our temptation, listen, the temptation is just to say, and I'm going to tell you something. I just want to be transparent with you because I have heard this. So let me tell you what the temptation is. I have had people look me in the eye and tell me this. They say, well, you just got good kids. I was dealt a bad hand. I got bad kids. You just got good kids. This verse says that we have a lot of responsibility there. That there is responsibility on the parent's part for whether or not your children bring you grief or are a delight to your soul. The result of correcting them will be that they are a delight. This is written 3,000 years ago, y'all. This was true then, and it was true in Jesus' time, and it was true when Charlemagne ruled the Holy Roman Empire, and it's true now. That our responsibility as parents is to correct our children. And that has an effect. You guys see what's happening? Is there motivation here? Oh, man. Is there motivation here? Is there a relationship between our willingness to diligently instruct and to diligently direct and to diligently discipline and to correct, and to get the good in, to give good, wise instruction, to get the bad out, to drive foolishness from our children's hearts when we see it. Oh man, is there motivation here? Strong motivation. God's Word says, let me show you what the end result is of one way or another.
They are either going to be a grief to you or they are going to delight your soul. And there is much responsibility here on the parents' part. Any last thoughts? Any last comments?
Father God, we praise you that you are our Heavenly Father and that you, Lord, are with us and are willing to teach us and have written your word to us. And God, I pray that we would trust you and that we would lean on you. And oh God, I ask you that we would find you faithful. And that banking on your word, we would find you true. God, I pray that you would make us wise as we seek you and fear you. And that, God, you would work through us in our children's lives. And that, God, their hearts would be yours. And they would be not just a delight to us, but, God, they would bring you much pleasure and much glory. You, as their Heavenly Father, would delight in them as well, even in their youth. God, we ask you for that. God, we pray that you'd use us. God, we need you. We need you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.